There we
Waiting.
go.
It says we're live.
I know. I feel like John Travolta in Pulp Fiction. Hello.
Well, that means you have
Are
to, that means you have to play the theme.
you ready to go?
Bombs and bails.
Hang on, I haven't checked it to see if you can hear that. Can you hear that?
I think so. Oh no, I can't hear anything from you.
Okay. See, that's why I gotta do that. Hang on. Let me think a second. Okay, now we're ready to go. And let's do this.
Bombs and bands. Bombs and bands.
All systems go.
Bombs and bands.
Defiance.
Bombs and bands.
Dance, dance, dance. This rebel has a cause.
Bombs and bands.
We begin as wanderers, and we are wanderers still.
Welcome, everyone, to the 14th live edition of Bombs and Bands and Wednesday Rants. As always, I'm your dedicated and humble host, John Wilder, coming to you from an undisclosed location hidden deep beneath the surface of the earth. With me, as always, is Mark. Mark, that's your cue. Mark?
What?
With
I'm
me, as always,
sorry.
is Mark.
No, your voice went out. I couldn't hear what was going on. I thought maybe something had happened. Yeah, it's Mark here.
And the missus.
Hello. Have we really done 14 of these?
14 live versions compared to
Wow.
the other ones, yeah. And
Wow.
this is kind of our hybrid. It's like kind of our Prius episode. Before we get going, and before I run into our intro and talk about all the stuff that we've got, I did want to bring up the concept of talking about the last show because I thought the last show was especially good. What do you guys think?
I enjoyed doing it. It was fun.
You actually did research too. That's
I
which is
know. I
crazy.
did show prep for a change. Minutes
Yeah,
and
no,
minutes of
it
work.
was fun.
And I thought everyone did a great job pretending to be that we were from the groovy swing in the 60s. And really, I just really appreciated it. Really thought it was a good time. So, without further ado, tonight we're going to have the missus talking about an article from the Wall Street Journal titled Millennials Put Away Childish Political Things. Then I'll take up the mantle with an article from redstate.com titled Media Calls for Rules Treating Republicans as Not Normal. And finally, Mark will take on an article from the Associated Press titled Records Rebut Claims of Unequal Treatment of January 6th Rioters. I almost said protesters, but the title is rioters. And we also have a treat. It's a Thanksgiving food guide the missus sweated over for literally, what, minutes?
Minutes and
Dozens
minutes.
and dozens of minutes.
Yeah.
Would you like to do that first? Or would you like to wait until after your story?
Oh, I don't
Those are the two
care.
places.
I don't care.
Mark, what do you think? Should we do first or afterwards or?
Well, we might as well do it at the end. And if people
Well,
want to write stuff down.
let's do it
It's
after her
almost like these
story.
are things we should have decided before we started the live cast.
Well, this is fun because this gives people just a little bit of a view
A little
inside
insight as
the
to how
magic.
disorganized we really
The
are.
magic. The magic. Tell you what, I say we do it right after your story before the beer hits me. So, the article that you're going to talk about is Millennials Put Away Your Childish Political Things by Maria von Eberstadt,
It's
who I
just
believe
Mary
was the
Eberstadt. It's not Maria von Eberstadt. What are you talking
It's
about?
Maria von Eberstadt, who I believe was a field marshal during Operation Barbarossa for Army Group Center. Or
Oh
is
my
that
God, really? No, she's the chair in Christian culture at the Catholic Information Center and a senior research fellow at the Faith and Reason Institute.
Oh.
Author of Primal Screams, How the Sexual Revolution Created Identity Politics. There,
that
I think.
Sounds like that sounds like a bestseller waiting to happen. So tell me about
You would read it. You know you would. I'd read that.
Tell me what Miss Von Eberstadt had to say about.
Well, I'm going to read a little bit of it to you because it is from the Wall Street Journal. So even if you went looking for the link for it, it's behind a paywall. My apologies for that. But it was a good article, and I thought it was something that we've hit on a little bit before. But this particular article is particularly. Hang on, I got to turn my volume down. I'm deafening myself. Okay, that's much better. And I can barely hear you. Okay, it's particularly aimed at millennials and Gen Z. And her message here is, as she writes in the opening paragraph, the message can be distilled in a single sentence. You've been robbed. I'll hit some highlights from this for you. She says, according to some of today's loudest and most influential voices, the U.S. is an irredeemable cesspool of racism and bigotry. This lie has resulted in wide patriotism gap. In 2020, according to one poll, under a quarter of Democrats surveyed said they were extremely proud to be American, as opposed to almost three quarters of Republicans. Only a third of Americans your age say the same. Ask yourself why. Most of us wouldn't trash talk our families. Most of us wouldn't trash talk our neighborhoods. Think about that the next time someone trash talks your national home and neighborhood, your country. So I think Miss Von Eberstadt. Eberstadt. See, now you're making me do it. Makes a good point there.
Obergruppenführer von Eberstadt. Some names just strike me funny, as did a name in every article tonight. So everybody's going to be taking this one equally tonight. Well, keep going.
She says another way that today's young people have been robbed is they have been robbed of family life. They don't have a good network of family, of kinship, of cousins, fewer siblings, fewer aunts and uncles. Many people lack a father at home. Yes.
So I got a phone call from a certain person you know. His uncle may have taken a particular picture during World War II that had some Marines putting up. You know who I'm talking about,
I know
right?
who you're talking about.
Yeah, so anyway, I made a joke during the conversation. He and his daughter were making a kinetic sculpture. And so his comment.
Is that like a 3D puzzle?
No, that's like the things that you hang and they all move when the wind blows. It's
art. It sounds like something that would be way, way out of my wheelhouse.
No, it's just hanging things that move. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, so I said, well, and when we were talking about charisma, and I said, well, you know, the real true charisma of Jesus is he had 12 friends when he was over 30. And you know, we had a long discussion on charisma, but the point is, and then the point that his daughter made, which I thought was incredibly insightful, was, yeah, and society has done that to us. Society has split us apart.
It has. I agree. You know, I was talking to a group of young people one time. I know it's shocking and terrifying that I can influence young minds, but I was talking about these four people who are my best friends, even though we live very far away from each other, all four of us, and mentioned how we had been friends, gosh, at this point, at least since high school, the four of us have been best friends. And this young person who
So that's like 700 years now.
I know, right? But this young person just looks at me and just complete sincerity says, wow, I wish I had a best friend. This is like a 16-year-old kid. And this is one of the things that this author is pointing out, that young people are amongst the loneliest generation of American ever. And part of this is this what she calls a deficit of family. I'll read you another quote here. Generations of thinkers have disparaged the family as the enemy of utopian schemes. In their depictions, home and hearth amount to a slaughterhouse of dreams and aspirations, especially for women. To the contrary, unprecedented rates of abortion, fatherlessness, and divorce, far from liberating you, have subtracted actual and potential loved ones from your lives. No wonder surveys show that young people are the loneliest Americans.
Absolutely. And, you know, it just goes to show that that's the reason why millennials and Christmas trees, you know, what they have in common.
What's that?
They used to be alive, but now they're dead inside.
That's Mark. Terrible.
It is, Mark.
No wonder I laughed at it.
Yeah.
I know you're out there. What do you think?
I agree. And actually, my article is going to sort of touch on the topic of why things are, or at least one aspect of how things are becoming estranged in the country between citizens. So,
That was something I did.
Just put that anywhere. It's fine.
carry on the mists.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were wrapping up. It sounded like
No, because I have at least two more jokes.
Okay. Well, and this the author goes on to say, if loneliness is the problem, putting more people in your lives with marriage and children is the self-evident solution. And the gist of this, and this was adapted from a speech that the author gave, is that come to conservatism. Conservatism is the big tent. It's the place that you want to be. And she wraps up by saying, this is the room where the grown-ups are. This is where you deserve to be too. You who know from the inside your generation's poignant realities. You are overdue for the restoration of America's undiminished promise and for upward moral mobility.
Now, do you think that the society is fragmented so that that's a realistic thing? I mean, is that possible at this point?
You know, I think we're on the verge of that. I mean, it might get worse before it gets better. T-Bone was here at our house the weekend or so ago, and we were kind of talking about this. And I told him that I kind of thought that his generation was due for a great religious upheaval because they've been so inundated by, you know, this nihilism, this, you know, whatever, if it feels good, do it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that humans are always looking for a deeper moral meaning. I mean, I think that a lot of people his age, and he is in his early 20s, are finding, like this article says, that they have been robbed, that they have been deprived of something very important to the essence of what it is to be human. And that essence isn't live for pleasure. It's find a purpose, find your spirituality, find, you know, that the way that you can get in touch with God and with the Almighty and with the supernatural inside. And I kind of see that on the horizon. Like I said, it might get worse before it gets better, but I see that coming.
Mark, what do you think of it?
Well, I agree. I mean, I'll drag in the RK political theory that anonymous conservative has, but I mean, he talks about these cycles that where liberals will ascend and then there'll be a reaction to that movement, and then conservatism will then come into ascendance and so forth. And you know, and the reality is you can sort of see that in our own history. I mean, just looking at religion, you know, religion was under attack very strongly in the late 1900s and early 20th century. There seemed to be more of a revival of it after World War II. And then, of course, then we saw the long decline that occurred through the 60s and 70s. But then in the 80s, there was a resurgence. You know, I was in high school when the Campus Crusade movement started becoming very strong. And, you know, there it was not only in colleges, but also at the high school. And, you know, we had one of the guys that was involved in that set up a Bible study that I attended a couple times till he found out I was Mormon and kicked me out. But but, you know, I mean, there is a cycle, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we started seeing, you know, I think we are on the cusp of a swing backwards to more conservative attitudes and so forth.
So you're saying there's a season turn. Oh, I'll stop there. I'll throw this in. Why do millennials prefer odd numbers?
Okay, I'll bite. Why?
Because they can't even.
Oh my goodness.
That sounds like more. Ladies Valley Girl.
Tiddly. Because that's the accent I have. So we have boomers, Generation Xers, millennials. So what do we call the next generation?
They're Gen Z. They're the Zoomers, aren't they? That's what T-Bone
screwed.
Is.
Screwed.
Yeah.
No, T-Bone's a millennial.
No, he's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, look he's
up.
Not.
Look it up. You could look it up. Look it up. So,
well, if he's a millennial, well, you know, Pugsley most certainly is a Zoomer.
Yes, he is.
Well, Vox Day is so convinced that Gen Z will be the ones to take a strong return to conservatism that he refers to him occasionally as Generation Zycon or yep. Zyklon.
Yep. Indeed, I've seen that before, and I actually have. Well, anyway, the missus.
Yes. Are you
ready with your Halloween? No, Halloween.
It's not Halloween.
Every day is Halloween.
You've been inside for too long.
If you try
hard well, it's
enough,
that,
every day
it's
can be Halloween.
All of the leaves on the tree in our front yard fell off the tree like yesterday.
All the leaves are gone. Yes.
And normally that would happen a little closer to Halloween.
And the sky is gray. Okay.
Yeah.
So how about you play your Thanksgiving thing?
All right, here it comes.
All right.
Welcome aboard, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. We're getting close to that one day of the year every chef both looks forward to and dreads. Besides, that is the inevitable intervention. That day is, of course, Thanksgiving. And Turkey Day 2021 looks like it might be worse than being forced to be uncomfortably close to your cousin, who naturally smells like cinnamon and musk, and has those cute little... Never mind.
Oh,
2021 might be rough because there are more shortages here this year than in a vegetarian Arby's. So if you're hosting this year's feast and you find yourself in a bind without a bird, uh-oh. What should you do? Hmm. Well, let's go through the list.
Okay.
Let's start with cranberry sauce.
Yummy.
If you can't find it, try using ketchup. Hey, it's red. Just mix that with some cherries and beets. Add a splash of vodka to get the tartness just right. Add enough vodka, and no one will care that you just served them that monstrosity. If you can't find green beans for that yummy casserole, you can substitute asparagus stalks. No asparagus? Use crayons. The Marines have been eating them for years. In a pinch, you can use fettuccine noodles with a touch of food coloring. And vodka. There's no substitute for that. Stuffing is usually made from bread or even cornbread, but if you can't find those in your pantry, try some shredded newspaper instead. It's not really digestible, but you'll get an early start on your New Year's diet. Everyone loves hot, buttery dinner rolls at Thanksgiving, but in a pinch, you can raid the kiddos' art supplies and slap together some papier-mâché buns. This is a chance to rekindle your love of eating glue. You know, the one you gave up for vodka. Need some pumpkin substitute for pie? Orange Jell-O works great, especially if you make it with, you guessed it, vodka. Finally, we get to the star of the show, the turkey. Butterballs may be in short supply this year, so just in case, start trapping your own squirrels. Sure, they're small, but 20 or so ought to do ya. And you can use their heads for soup, although when you stir it, it's like making a soup out of baseballs. But back to the squirrel. Just stick their bits together with the leftover glue from the dinner rolls, and no one will ever know the difference. With these handy substitutions, Thanksgiving 2021 will be the great holiday it's always been. Plus, you'll be ready for the heaping helping of socialism that's just around the corner, so you can enjoy all the vodka,
yummy.
Just like the Soviets used to do.
God, the vodish.
Enjoy, comrades, and remember, let's go, Brandon.
Awesome.
You know what that reminded me of?
What's that?
Don't worry, be happy.
It does a little bit.
No, because,
I've had that music stuck in my head all day, and it's very bright and happy music.
But no, not that part. The fact that 99% of all of the sound effects were just you making noises with your mouth.
That's true.
Everything the burp
except
was special.
The turkey, the duck, and the ding, that was all me.
Oh, now you killed it for me. You just destroyed the magic.
because I wasn't the duck. I could have been.
So there is one thing that's lingering to me that disappoints me about that commercial.
What's that?
So just a little bit of a peek behind the curtains. The missus wrote the initial version. Then I punched it up. And I just regret not, you know, I brought an incest joke, but I didn't bring a cannibalism joke. And I have enough cannibalism on this show. Just disappoints me.
That's true.
So.
It was a subtle incest joke, though, right?
It was a very subtle.
Joe Biden would approve, though. Sniffing your cousin. But, yeah.
Well, it was really kind of Arrested Development kind of inspired that particular one. Okay, let's move along. Incest and cannibalism. We can check those boxes. And now I have an article from redstate.com titled Media Calls for Rules Treating Republicans as Not Norma.
Not Norma?
Well, Norma Jean. Not Norma.
True and international effort to pressure.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is it too different? Just wait.
What
the
said?
The author of this particular story is Nick Arama. And if I had a name like Nick Arama, I'd buy a South African four-legged beast and act just a little crazy. Then they could call me Nick Arama.
You would sing
Nick Arama, Lama Lama, Ding Dong.
I screwed up your joke, didn't I?
You did. I step over you talking, you step over my jokes. So
I was trying to save the audience.
It's too late. Whenever you bring up cannibalism and the attack on the Soviet Union in World War II, it's deep already.
That's right, so in your wheelhouse.
As Nick lays out, the major enemy of the right is still the Washington Post. One of their conservative, I have in quotation marks, columnists was Jennifer Rubin. She no longer considers herself conservative.
She's one of those Lincoln Project freaks, right?
Freak is a good word for it. How would you describe her, Mark?
Crazy as a loon.
Yeah. Well, one positive of Trump is this. He caused her to show her true colors. But, you know, there's a video on the story which we'll link. But I don't advise listening to her talk because she sounds like a Prezi Ben Stein when she talks. Bueller. Paris Bueller.
It's worse than when the president whispers.
She has a voice made for blogging. Okay.
True and international effort to pressure.
She has a face made for radio and a voice made for blogging. I mean, she's a horrible person. This article is that she's gone all in with the left talking points. The Republicans are evil and should be monitored by the Justice Department because of violence? Really? I just wonder what planet Mrs. Rubin is from. And then I discovered there's only two things I hate in this world. Intolerance, like the intolerance shown by Jennifer Rubin. And then I also hate Swedes.
Well, you know, in her latest column, she went off about there being some sort of huge conspiracy behind the January 6th riots.
Well,
or protests, or however you want to call it. And, you know, even though the FBI said a couple months ago that there was no evidence of any.
Well, no, hang on here. Hang on. Jennifer Rubin is a vegan, but I think she's a hypocrite. She has a fur coat. Oh, sorry. That's her underarm hair.
How dare you?
A friend of mine used to pay hookers. He lives in D.C. He used to pay hookers with fake money. Then Jennifer Rubin started complaining about counterfeiting. Please ask me how I feel about Jennifer Rubin. Please. She's a horrible, horrible person. The missus, what did you think about this one?
You know, I wish I could say I'm surprised. I'm just not. I'm like, well, you know, that's the world we live in now, isn't it?
It really is. And again, I don't know what values Ms. Rubin has, but none of conservative we won't get into conservatism. But Mark, what do you think
about her conservatism?
You know. Had,
huh?
You pick what you want to talk about on this particular article. You're the one who chose it. So, I mean, you didn't. I chose this article, but you're the one who found it.
Now you're confused.
Oh. Now you've got me confused. Okay.
True international effort to pressure.
I got it from your website.
Well, no, this is all about power, and you know, the left have found, or the elites, however you want to call it, deep state, they found some what they consider to be really good sticks to beat the general public with, and especially anyone to the right of them, and so they're using them, and she's just part of the problem. I mean, that's what she's literally calling for, is to disenfranchise half the country.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, not only disenfranchise, but criminalize.
Well, but it's all the same. I mean, she wants to rob the right of political influence by essentially silencing them so they can never say anything.
And ridiculing them and fact-checking them. And, you know, and the thing that amuses me is all... there was a fact check, and this is, we haven't talked about Kyle Rittenhouse at all, which kind of surprises me. None of these articles came up as Kyle Rittenhouse, but I'll pick this as a moment in time.
Well, I think we're all waiting. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the verdict hasn't come in. As we're recording this, the verdict hasn't come in yet, but we've all seen that go down. So there was a fact check in Facebook, and it said Kyle Rittenhouse was legally carrying the gun, and it had a big false on a meter. It said big false. And then the judge ruled. He said it clearly Wisconsin law allowed Kyle to have the gun. This is a judge in Wisconsin talking about Wisconsin law. And then someone quoted that on Facebook, and someone said, well, this is very nuanced. That's still a false statement. It's a false statement when a judge says, yes, I know. It's nonsense.
Well, right, because being false and being misinformation, and even better, disinformation now, has all come to mean not what leftists believe.
See,
so therefore, it's a lie.
Well, the funny thing about it is it's an objective factual determination. It was the law that they were citing to was one that prohibited minors from having possession of short-barreled rifles, which are rifles with a barrel of less than 16 inches in length. I mean, that is, you know, the epitome of a fact that can be objectively determined, but they take it as an opinion. I mean, that's the basic problem of the left. They don't believe in objective fact anymore.
Right. Well, it's like our president would say, you know, we believe truth over facts.
True and international effort to pressure.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this actually, I have a great joke that I'm going to skip. It's killing me, because I want to say that this is the perfect segue into Mark's article. This is from the Associated Press, titled "Records Rebut Claims of Unequal Treatment of January 6th Rioters" by Alana Bobana. Okay, her name's just really Alana, but I'm going to call her Alana Bobana.
Was it Rosanna Donna?
Well, I'm not done. Everybody gets made up from this set of authors. Alana Bobana Dorkenreicher. Dorkenreicher? Anyway, Michael Kunzerman. And Jacques Belliard. And now it's spelled B-I-L-L-E-A-U-D. It's an interesting name because it's spelled like that, but I imagine it's pronounced yacht. Anyway, Mark, what'd you learn from this one?
All right. Well, let me start off with actually going to the Kyle Rittenhouse trial because I've been sort of amused over the last few days to, you know, reading about some of these liberals who are at least consider themselves to be well-read or educated. They're completely flabbergasted at what the facts have shown from this trial. They had no idea of even the basic facts, like, you know, that Rittenhouse, the three men that he'd shot were all white people. There were people that thought that he was, that they were black for some reason.
And let's be honest about these people. The first one did some very, and let's not talk about the exact terms of what he did, but he said, did some incredibly unsavory, felonious things that he spent 12 years in jail for with young people. I mean, he did those things to the young people. It was horrific crimes, multiple young people, just an awful person. That's the first one. The second person, and he, of course, Kyle didn't know this. I understand that that's why they didn't bring it up. The second person, I believe he got out of jail after a felony of choking a woman and then immediately went back to jail for choking a woman. And then the last one, he was a felon in possession of a handgun.
Wow.
So, sorry to jump on.
Well, and then the it's the identity of the jump kick man has come out, and turns out he also had a long criminal record. That was the one that Kyle took a couple shots at him but missed. So yeah, I mean, you know, we're looking at the dregs of society that were at this Democratic Party.
So these were violent people who attacked Kyle, and he has to defend himself from these violent people, one of whom told him directly that he would kill him if he saw him later.
Yes, the first guy.
Yeah. Wonderful little packet of poodle hatred in that one. This is what are you saying?
Well, you know, the thing that really bothers me most about this is this insinuation, and it's not just people on the left, the prosecutors tried to use this as their argument too, is that what this young man should have done was just let these people beat the crap out of him. Everybody gets beaten up in their lives. Okay, so the police
loses?
Yeah, well, that was the suggestion. They actually, in the closing statements, called this guy a coward because he didn't use his fist to try to get out of it. And then on the other side of this, I've read about the January 6th, how the people at January 6th were violent rioters because they had things like flags and fists.
And T-shirts.
Yes.
Had American slogans.
And were swinging their phones around. Those on January 6th were deadly weapons. But in this case, just take your beating.
Well, okay.
Just let a crowd of 20 or 30 people jump on top of you and beat the crap out of you.
Now, hang on. We're just bagging on the riots that happened in 2020. Let's be frank. They caused at least $4 billion in improvements in Baltimore.
That's true. That's true.
So carry on, Mark. I think we're taking completely off the rails.
Well, as I was saying, you know, a lot of these liberals suddenly had a big wake up call as these facts started coming out in the trial, and it just made me think of how much the left and the right in this country live in. You know, in their minds, live in literally different worlds. And
I'm going to hang on here because you said something that brought to mind one of my favorite quotes ever. And I bet the missus was jumping on it too in her mind. Facts, sir, are stubborn things. John Adams.
Correct. And so there's this, this is very blunt. It's not, I mean, I know there's a lot more nuance to this, but bluntly, you know, we have half the nation that lives in one reality and another half that lives in a different reality. Part of the reason for this, though, is the media. I mean, the media, especially the major news outlets, are the key factor for this split, I believe. And this article that I found. I'm going
to jump on that a little bit here, because it's not only the media, it's also geography. Because I went to a government office the other day, and it had a sign clearly on it that said, "Thou must wearest a mask to enter into the kingdom." And so I had a mask, had one in my car, and I walked in. The employees aren't wearing masks. Okay. There's the ubiquitous plexiglass things, and we're handing stuff back and forth. And this is the most, what's the word I'm looking for? The most, pedagogical of any sort of agency, the DMV. The rules are the rules. You have to follow A, B, C, D, E, the rules. Walk in, and they're not even following that rule. And they did take my ankle monitor off, so we're good there. That's it. That's a joke.
So here's my favorite story with dealing with the DMV in the past 6 months, because Pugsley has just become old enough that he can drive. And so we had to go do a thing at the DMV. And we were unaware at this time that we did this, that you had to make an appointment to go see the DMV. So we walk in, and there's literally no one in the room. Two DMV employees, me and Pugsley. So we say, hey, you know, we need to do this thing with his license. And they say, well, I'm sorry. We're completely booked. I mean, we're completely full up, and there's absolutely no way that we'll try and work you in. And again, I look around and I'm like, there's literally no one else in the room.
So my point that I was trying to make was this is, tonight I attended a meeting at a school, right? Walked into the school. How many masks were worn in the school? None. Zero. Zero masks. We live in a place where that sort of nonsense is kind of ignored at this point.
Well, it's kind of ignored, even though it's still kind of the rule. Again, the big sign on the door, because I had to go pick Pugsley up to do a thing today. And so I went into the office to wait for him to get in. And so the people who were sitting in the office, there's a big sign on the door as you walk in that says masks required in this building. So I come in and they all have the mask under the chin. And when I come in, I'm just lazily putting my own on, right? And I walk through the door and they all pull them up immediately. And I'm like, did you think I didn't see you through the windows when I came in?
Now everyone, we know we're all
just paying lip service to this at this point. And the only place around here that even exists is in the schools, because it's the only place where the grown-ups have the authority to bully everyone in that building into wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will give them detention.
Yep. So we have really just blown the wheels off this cart.
We have.
So... So keep going, Mark. I apologize okay. for the missus, because she's just a horrible person.
Right, it's me.
Wow.
And the clap of my ass just keeps alerting the guards.
Okay, that was funny. Mark is never going to
come back. And we're still doing it. He's never going to come back. Sorry, Mark. We're so sorry, really. Go ahead.
As I was indicating, I mean, there's these two different realities that, are to a large extent driven by the media. And this article from the Associated Press about, you know, where they attempt to rebut claims of unequal treatment of the January 6th protesters that were arrested, is to me the epitome of why there is this problem. And it ties in with what I said earlier about how to the left, there is no objective facts anymore. And, you know, and this is an interesting article because it's billed as an article. It isn't an op-ed. It doesn't say anything about it being an op-ed, but, you know, it's just full of outrageous statements about the difference between, well, for instance, the difference between the rioters that, you know, burn down cities all across the nation and, you know, including Portland, where they were constantly attacking a federal courthouse. And this article says the catalyst for the riot, and this is they're talking about the January 6th event, and the demonstrations for racial justice were also fundamentally different. You know, I mean, listen, that word, I mean, the wordplay and everything they're picking. The mob of Trump supporters whipped up by the former president's lies about the election descended on the Capitol and pushed past police barriers, assaulted officers, smashed windows, and sent lawmakers running in a stunning attempt to overturn the presidential election. The demonstrations after Floyd's death were largely peaceful calls to address racial inequality and police brutality that occasionally turned violent. I mean, I think it would have made the Soviet Pravda editors blush on how blatant the opinionated and misleading all of that was.
Yeah, and that's what I got from when I saw that article. I thought, wait, Mark picked this article? So now
And that rationalization is all over. You see that everywhere. Well, you know, the riots in 2020, those were okay because it was for a worthy cause. Well, maybe you should make a list of what are worthy causes and what are not worthy causes, and then that way I'll know what things I'm not allowed to say.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the infuriating thing about it, is if you look, so those protests from the, you know, the BLM protests and Antifa protests, if we want to put that nice of a term on, I mean, we know that there were riots. You know, the burning, the looting, the attacking of police, and or the police just hanging back and letting them destroy everything that is there. You know, those were political. That was political violence. It was, although they claim it was for social justice, I mean, the reality was is it was to intimidate American voters to assist in the defeat of Trump from office to drive, you know, help by the time the November elections come around. Basically, they were supposed to scare voters into acting a certain way or voting in certain ways. And as such, they meet the definition of terrorism. I mean, that's the definition of terrorism is violence to influence the policies and politics of an entity, a political entity. So
part of the problem, you know, go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was just saying, so like you've said before, when you were talking about, you know, the people walking into the Capitol and everything, I mean, to compare those two, to compare what happened at the Capitol versus what was happening in places like Minneapolis and Portland and Kenosha and Manhattan. And I mean, from my point of view, it's ridiculous. I mean, one, you had people that broke down walls. There were some scuffles with police, but it in no way rose to near the level of violence we saw anywhere else.
They weren't burning down the Capitol. The statues, which had existed for, in some cases, 150 years, were untouched. The worst damage to the Capitol outside of a broken window or two was some litter. It was minor.
Well, don't forget the blood stains left after they shot Ashley Babbitt.
Well, okay, there's that.
So I'm going to say something.
That's the other thing. I mean, the worst violence was actually
committed. Hang on, Mark. You see why we leave this one for last? Because it gets dark around this time.
Well, I was just going to say that I was going to say something a little provocative here, right? Okay. So Americans love to protest things, right? I mean, you could, prior to 2020, 2019, I would doubt that there is a day that goes by when there isn't some group or some other marching in Washington and having some sort of protest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we talk about those? Did we?
No.
Not at all. We ignore them. We aren't ignoring these now, are we? And what goes further here is that when you don't enforce the law, and it makes me think that people who are appalled at these things think that this is not the natural artifact that would happen when we stop enforcing the law. If you've never raised teenagers, if you have raised teenagers, you know if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, and that's just what humans do, right? So when you stop enforcing the law, people are going to start breaking more laws. The broken windows theory of policing, right? Yeah.
Well, I think it's the Judas Priest theory of breaking the law, the law.
Yeah.
Well,
that, was a little more Beavis, though, than it was Judas Priest.
You know,
breaking the law.
And, you know, I'll admit there's an aspect to this of, you know, it's okay when we do it, but not okay when you do it type of thing. I mean, you know, not only do we have all of the riots and looting and burning that the Democrats were quite happy with, but then you know, there's other aspects, like, you know, when the pro-abortion activists get into Congress and sit up in the viewing area and start chanting and protesting disrupting the Congress and their business. Do we ever hear about them trying to overthrow the democracy or see them being arrested and given felony sentences for?
Well, keep in mind this, their violence is their speech.
Our speech is their
violence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So understand, our ideas are so dangerous, they're violent. And their violence is so innocuous. It's only speech.
And I think another thing that feeds this is that you just get the general feeling that everybody has gone a short fuse. And I don't know if it's the lockdown and the whole pandemic and the whole coronavirus thing.
People are done. Everyone is done. Everyone I talk to is done. I mean, it's not like 1 out of 10 people are done. It's like, I'm going to retire. I'm tired of this. One more person comes in and yells at me. I'm done. We are living in an economy with people who are just, they're done with things.
But, you know, we live in the last best hope of the world. If America, if something happens to America, if the leftists get their way, where do we go? China takes over. We want those guys running the country. The people who, if you get coronavirus, will come to your house and beat in front of you to death your tiny corgi with a metal pipe. Did you hear about that one, guys?
I did not.
No.
Apparently it's a video on the internet. I have not watched it because I don't want to see that. But this Chinese woman, there was somebody in her house got coronavirus and the police came in and they had a pet and they just beat that corgi to death with a metal pipe in front of her. And of course, you know why they did it in front of her, right? Because if you step in, we're the government. You're next. And if we let those types of people take over here, it's done. Where do we go?
Well, and there's actually a phrase for that. It's you kill the chicken to shock the monkey.
Right, yeah.
But that's the phrase. I'm sure I garbled in some fashion. But you're right. And that's why they try and do that. That's why things are elevated. That's why they're created to such a high extreme. They are, again, this is dark. But, you know, here's what I'm going to say. The lights went out. The lights on freedom went out in the world before. They've gone out before, again and again and again, and freedom gets rekindled.
Yeah, but it's awful sometimes hard to claw that back.
Oh, but, you know, it is. I mean, you look at what happened. What happened when Rome fell? What happened when the Roman Republic fell? Again, it was reborn. It took time, but it was reborn. And ultimately, I have that faith in humanity that we will. Again, there's some faith and religious stuff in there, but we will build towards freedom. We will build towards that non-totalitarian world. I do believe that.
Subversive words. Subversive words.
Indeed.
Oh, wait a minute. There's somebody at the door.
FBI, open up!
Okay. Well, on that note... That's your
key. I know it is. I don't have it pulled up. Let me find it. All right, here we go.
Thanks, everyone, for coming to this episode of Bombs and Bants and Wednesday Rants. As always, I'm John.
This is Mark.
And I'm the Mrs.
Thanks, everyone, and we'll be back probably next week. Take care. Someone should say the other things.
Well, I can't cut it off. You just have to keep talking. It's almost done. And we're out. Y'all come back now you're here.
Well, I don't know. I thought that was really good. I thought that was stunningly good.
You know, we're